Amen. You know, in Scripture, the promised land is not heaven. It's the Spirit-filled life that when you read through Scripture. The promised land for the Jew was Israel, Deuteronomy 9:28, that he promised them a land that he couldn't get them into because of the hardness of their own heart for a while, and then finally he ushered them over. The promised land is that place of fulfillment, of Spirit-filled living. Heaven is heaven. It is a promise, and it is a land of promise, and that's what that song's about, is about heaven. But the promised land is a little different textual teaching when you come to Scripture. But it's a grand old song and helps us focus on the world that is yet to come. And that's exactly where I'm preaching in these days, these weeks, in Matthew 24, in the Olivet Discourse, where we started last Sunday. And then we pick up today in Matthew 24, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 4 in just a moment. Read through verse 9, skip to 15, 21, 29. And I want us to look this morning at this time period called the tribulation. The tribulation. We're going to look at that. Now, hear me. You will never understand this book until you understand what Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 32, where he said there are three groups of people in the world in the New Testament era. There is the Jew, there is the Greek or Gentile, and the church. Until you understand that there is Jew and Gentile and church, the church did not replace Israel. God still has a plan for the Jew. You read it in Romans. You read it in this text today in the Olivet Discourse. And until you let that Jewish nation have its place, you'll never understand all that's in the Word of God. Now, there's more in Matthew 24, number one, that I can ever get to. Number two, there's more in Matthew 24 than I've ever understood. And there are mysteries and signs in this text that people think they understand, and I'm going to give my opinion about one of them this morning. Doesn't make it so. It makes it my opinion, and you'll meet others that'll have a different opinion than I will have. But we know that the Lord is coming for us. We looked at that last Sunday, and we talked about the great rapture of the church. Now, in Matthew 24, I believe that the rapture of the church comes, and then beginning in verse 4 and down through verse 31, I believe he is describing this era of tribulation, and you have to understand it. Now, before we understand the event of tribulation, we understand that we now still have tribulation. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 33, when he told us these things that I've spoken to you so that you may have peace, that in this world you're going to have what? Philipsis. Philipsis. Tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Amen. In this world, Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation. But take courage. I'm going to get you through. Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God, in much what? Philipsis, in much tribulation with joy in the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that last line? When you're walking through tribulation, he said, but you receive that word in the midst of sorrow with the joy of the Holy Spirit. While we all have difficulty, one of our dear deacons lost his wife this week. He's walking through tribulation. But he's walking through it with tears and joy of the Holy Spirit. I was with a dear friend Friday night who told me of the death of his 8-year-old son. Got out the back door and fell in the swimming pool and drowned and died. I got an email late last night from our sweet, sweet friend, Vernon Whaley. It's hard to believe it's been almost 10 years since Vernon was our minister of music. Well over 9. Vernon's girl, Lori, has twins, little boy and a little girl. The little girl's name is Daisy, Daisy Rowe. And Tuesday morning, I want you to pray for Daisy Rowe, R-O-E, Daisy Rowe. She's having brain surgery. Now, any surgery is hard, but brain surgery is tough. So you pray for little Daisy. Say, Sharon, did you get my picture of, yeah, there's sweet little Daisy. Vernon sent me that picture. He's walking through tribulation. He just sent that out. He asked, he said, you're part of my family. Pray for us. So you pray for Vernon. Pray for his sweet wife. Pray for the Rose. That, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. I've walked through some of that tribulation with you. I could just enumerate some of those. Lion sits there. I remember tribulation. Wayne and Michael sit there. I remember tribulation. It's a hard day. Brother Keith, I remember meeting right over here in the bride, that was tribulation. Hey, we're going to have tribulation in this world. But take courage. Take courage. Because even in the Philippians, there is the joy of the Holy Spirit. Deep doesn't mean you don't cry. Doesn't mean that you don't understand. Doesn't mean that you don't have to. It just means that the deep joy of the Spirit of God within you will see you through the valley and get you to the other side. Now, anybody promises you you're going to walk through this life after you get saved and not have tribulation, they are a liar from hell. You call them whatever else you want to, they're just a liar. They don't know the Word of God. They wouldn't know Jesus if they met him in a 40-acre field, I'm telling you. The joy comes through the Philippians. That's in this world. But now, next to that, the Bible speaks of an event coming called the tribulation and the great tribulation. It will be the worst period of days the world has ever known. In our life now, we hear of wars and rumors, but that's not it. That's this world that we're in. Jesus is going to tell us that's not the end. But there is a period coming that Daniel spoke of in Daniel 12 and 1 and Daniel 9 and 12. That he spoke of the worst season of mankind. Jeremiah in Jeremiah 30 and verse 7 called it Jacob's distress. Daniel used that word of great distress. He spoke of 70 weeks of years. And he talked about a period of seven. And then he spoke of these 62 years. And then there's a year, seven years that weeks of years left that we've not seen yet. And it speaks of that philipsis, of that tribulation that is yet to come. And we read of it in Ezekiel 5 and verse 9. You read of it in Revelation 4 through 19 of the apocalypsis. You find it. This period is coming. And I want to outline it for you as Jesus spoke about it. Now, one thing you have to understand. When you go to the Old Testament, the church is kept as a mystery. It's never prophesied. You don't see the church given to us. That is a revelation of Christ and the apostles. That's why the struggle is here about Sabbath day worship, Saturday, Sunday. The church is a new era. There's Jew, there's Gentile, and then there's the church that is made up of saved Jews and Gentiles. Of which I'm a part. I am a saved Gentile in the church. I can introduce you to some saved Jews that are in the church. But there's Jews, and then there's Gentiles, and there's the church. Just like in the Old Testament, you find that after the flood, that everybody in this room, you can trace it back. You go back to one of Noah's three boys. Shem, Ham, Japheth. You go back, and you find that in the Word of God.
Go to Genesis 9, and you'll see that out of that, they populated the whole earth. And then as you go to chapters 10, 11, 12 of Genesis, it tells us where the Shemites are and the Hamites, Japhethites, where they populated the earth, over to Russia, North Africa, and where they spread out from.
Well, the same way when you come to the New Testament, there's Jew and there's Gentile and there's the church. And here today, this speaks mainly to the lost Jew and Gentile. So let's jump right in, and I'm going to give you enough to just get you confused as a gnat in a yo-yo when you leave here today, and it'll give you some stuff to chew on and go study the Word of God. So let's look at this coming period of tribulation, of thlipsis, that we see. Jesus speaks in 24 of Matthew, verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, now they've just asked the question back in verse 3 that we looked at last week, when and what is the sign of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and will mislead you. Be very careful. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that's not yet the end. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all of these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to thlipsis, to tribulation, and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, and then he gives this parenthesis, which is very important to this text. Let the reader understand. Verse 21, for then there will be a great tribulation. In the Greek New Testament, hoi thlipsis, hoi magala. Magala, great, thlipsis, tribulation. There will be the tribulation, the great, that will come. Before, we've seen tribulation. Now we move into an era called the hey thlipsis, hey magala, that great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. I'm telling you, it's the worst period the world will ever know. Verse 29, but immediately after the thlipsis, the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So let's look for just a moment this morning at this period. Most seeing it is a 7-year period following the rapture of the church, that Jesus comes, raptures the church, and we enter into this thlipsis, this tribulation period that the world moves into. What happens there? Well, let's look. I've outlined it for you there on your listening chart, and you can jot down some other things. First of all, the beginning of tribulation. Jesus called it birth pangs, the birth pangs, and they'll deliver you then to tribulation, that there'll be some beginning of tribulation. Now, those of you that are men and you're married and you have children, you probably remember this day. Darling, I think it's time. Well, I'm having contractions. Matter of fact, I'm sitting here in the movie theater and I think my water broke. It's not yet, but it's the beginning. Jesus uses that
about the birth pangs coming. He says that there's some things that begin. What are the, I give you five marks right here in verses 10 through 14 of the beginning of the birth. Just look at your Bible. We're just going to read the Bible for a few minutes this morning. Look, verses 9 and 10, there's persecution. Persecution is going to come. You'll be hated by all nations because of my name. Verse 10, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. There'll be great persecution that will rise up in the world. After that comes false prophets in verse 11. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Jesus spoke about false prophets in Matthew 7 in verse 15. He called them sheep in what? Wolves' clothing. They will come and they will be that person. I think I just said that backwards. Yeah. They're going to be a wolf that's got on sheep's clothing, all right? Yes, they come. They're going to look the part, but they're going to be hiding underneath, and they're coming after. That's a false prophet, those wolves that come in sheep's clothing. Oh, they look good. They speak, and they look, but underneath they're false prophets. If this were to come to this young millennial generation right now, they'd miss it because they say, judge not, judge not, judge not, judge not. It's their middle name. Somebody can stand up and I mean say, Jesus is not Lord. And he never rose and never died. And they'll look at you and say, well, now you can't judge him. Bless God, I can. They don't understand the word judgment. You better be in the discerning, judging business if you're going to walk through this world. In the beginning of this tribute, there'll be persecution, there'll be false prophets. Verse 12 says there'll be lawlessness because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow very cold. Evil will be unrestrained. Hear me today. Evil is restrained now, according to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 6. Why is evil restrained? I'm telling you, the church is here. The Spirit of God is in the church. That there is salt and there is light, but there comes a day when salt and light is gone, that the church is out of the way, that the Spirit of God is gone, and there will, it'll be lawlessness, that'll be unrestrained. If you think it's bad now, what if there was no one speaking truth in our culture right now? And the truck just ran. But there's still some people. In this era, it'll be lawlessness with evil unrestrained. Verse 13 tells us, in the middle of that time of the trip, there'll be great evangelism. Look in verse 13. And the one who endures to the end will be saved. And number 5, there'll be worldwide preaching of the gospel. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Well, watch this. There'll be thousands of people get saved in the tribulation. Now, I spoke last Sunday of the last person to get saved and then the rapture of the church. Well, that's the last person to be saved before the rapture. After that, you move into that tribulation time. And then there is this evangelistic effort that comes. And there are two preaching entities that we find. In Revelation 7, we find 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will go. And Jew after Jew after Jew will get saved. In Revelation 14, 6 and 7, the Bible speaks of an angel that will carry the gospel. One man told me this week when I was discussing this with him, he said, you know, Pastor, after all of us are gone, he said, you know, we're not going to carry all of our sermon CDs and our iPods and our writings and our books with us. All of that material will be here too. Libraries will still be open. There'll be radio stations still running preachers. Lost people will still be sending money. The truth will be there. And the proclamation comes through those 144,000 and through that great angel that so, hey, take heart, church. This so encouraged me when I found this week. If they can have a revival in the tribulation, dear God, why can't we have a revival now? If we'd stand up and preach the gospel, if we'd go forth and ask for God's touch, if they can see an evangelistic harvest of multitudinous proportion in the Philippians, how much more should we be able in God's sovereign time that if we'd get serious about the gospel, we could see that harvest now? We've got to stop holding back and begin to proclaim. I preached Friday night in Florence, Alabama, and then again Saturday morning before I drove back yesterday afternoon, and I preached with Rick Burgess of the Rick and Bubba Show. Bubba wasn't there. I told him I'd be Bubba, and he was Rick, and I was Bubba. And so I preached, and he preached for an hour and 50 minutes. I told him the next morning it was the greatest series of sermons I'd ever heard. Priest gave the invitation, and men started, comes a men's conference. One young man, everybody was busy, and I was standing on the front row. I was the visiting preacher, and Corey walked forward, and he just kind of stood there looking around, and I'm thinking, well, won't somebody help this boy? And I said, I'm just the guest preacher. I said, can I help you? And he said, yes, sir. I said, what do you need? And he said, what you guys been talking about, I don't understand that. I'm lost. I've never been saved. Can you help me? I said, I got this right here. I said, Corey, I want you to know God's good. God is good. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Corey, I want you to know you're not good. And he looked at me. He said, you don't have to tell me that part. But he was taking care of his grandmother. He's a caregiver for his grandmother. And we knelt down to pray. He began to confess his sin. Real sin. Lord, I'm out running around too late. I'm getting drunk at night. Finally, he said, Lord, would you come into my life and forgive me my sin? I want to follow you. I want to trust you. I want to do what these. Hey, I'm just telling you. I love the church. This afternoon, we're going to have training. I love training small group leaders, but I didn't get in this to train small group leaders. I love deacons. We talk about these men. I love deacons, but I didn't get in this go to deacon meeting. I like taking an offering. You know me well enough. I love to see the budget grow over here, but I didn't get in this to go to budget meeting. I got in this for Corey. That old boy came forward. You may be sitting in this room today. You've never trusted him. I'm telling you, the same grace that'll save a man in a tribulation, that grace will save you today. Because God is good, and he loves you, and he gave his life. You're not good. You're a sinner. Jesus died for you. If you'd call on his name, he'll save you today. I was so encouraged that there's going to be worldwide event. Now, I want to say to you very quickly, this text says that the gospel will be preached to the whole world. That is not a prophecy that the gospel will go to everyone before the rapture of the church comes. That means the gospel's going everywhere during the tribulation. Jesus could come right now. This very moment, he could come. Before some of y'all come back for the hymn singing tonight, he could come. But there's a day coming when the gospel will go in all of those nations. We'll hear. That is the beginning pain. Secondly, I want you to see very quickly, there is what we call the midpoint of this tribulation. That's in verse 15. I'm just going to touch on this because it's so important. I'm going to come back and preach a whole message on the abomination of desolation. He speaks to it here from Daniel 9:27, and he says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, then that quote there, let the reader understand. This abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, it comes and he takes the Jewish temple and he declares himself to be God, and the false prophet sets up an image right there in the new Jewish temple in Jerusalem, and it's an image of the Antichrist in the middle of the Holy of Holies. It's an abomination of desolation, and the world will begin to bow before the Antichrist. It's the most wicked day the world will ever know. When a man says, I'm God, that day's on the way. What does the Lord say to the Jew? When you see that happen in that temple, he says to them, understand this. First of all, in verse 15, I'm going to come back and unpack this in a few weeks. But then he says, flee, flee. And notice what he says here. Let those that are in Judea flee to the mountains. Get out of town. I mean, go to the mountains. And whoever's on the housetops must not go down to get the things out there that are in his house. Don't even take time. Just jump and go. Whoever's in the field, don't turn back to get you. You don't have time to get anything. Move from this abomination. And woe to those who are pregnant. Those that are nursing babies. Why? Well, you can't move fast. You ever tried to get a pregnant woman to run? Come on, honey, let's go. Oh, man. I mean, that's a tough deal. You got babies and you know, you got to get all those children ready. Woe to you. Pray that your flight would not be in winter. I've been in Jerusalem in winter. The coldest night I ever spent in my life was in Jordan in the winter. Got up the next morning, there was snow everywhere, and we didn't have a drop of heat in that Brock house we were staying in as college kids. And that place was paralyzed. Pray this abomination doesn't come in winter or on a Sabbath. And Jude would have a hard time because he can't keep the Sabbath and do what needs to do to get out of there. I'll come back and pack. I just understand they're going to flee during this midpoint with this abomination that's going to come with an anti-Christian, an anti-Christ, and a false prophet that's on the way. And then in verse 21, we see then that there's a transition from that beginning period of the tribulation to that midpoint of the abomination into that great tribulation, that Thlipsis Megala. Megala, again, that great Thlipsis, the great tribulation. You move into the worst of the worst of the tribulation. Found in verse 21, for then after that, there'll be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world till now, nor ever will. Now just think, it's going to be worse than the Holocaust. It's going to be worse than Genghis Khan. It's going to be worse than the fall of the Roman Empire. It's going to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be worse than 9/11. It will be the worst of the worst when this great tribulation comes. What happens? There are five factors that are here. Just let me name them for you very quickly. Number one, there is fierce worldwide anti-Semitism. It's in verse 22. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Of God's elect nation, they will so come against the Jew. It's amazing to me what we're talking about now with this new deal in Washington. I don't know this to be a fact, but I believe it to be a fact that deal is a done deal. If it were not a done deal, Senator Schumer would not have come out to say, I'm going to vote against it. I believe he knows he has the votes to sustain the veto to get the deal. I don't know that. That's just one redheaded preacher's opinion. Balding redheaded preacher's opinion. You go back and you trace the history of the Jewish nation. Just trace it. They've always been people rising up to try to kill the Jews. Over and over and over. Of course, in our day, the worst we know is Nazi Germany. But I'm telling you, friend, that was bad. But all through history, there have been people, anti-Semites, coming against the Jewish nation. And Iran stands there now. I mean, saying, we're going to wipe them off the face of the earth. They may very well crush them, but I'll tell you one thing that will not happen. The Jew will not be wiped off the face of the earth. There is a Bible promise about the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. But there will be worldwide fierce anti-Semitism. Verse 23 says that this false Messiah, the Antichrist, then if anyone says to you, behold, here's the Christ, there he is, don't believe him. Judge that, discern that. There will be false. There'll be a false Messiah. Thirdly, there will be satanic-empowered false signs and wonders. You see that as we move to verse 24, for the false Christ and the false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead if possible. Even the elect would say, oh, he's got to be. No. They'll promise peace, prosperity, and purpose. I tell you, here's going to be peace. Everybody's looking for peace. There'll be great prosperity. Remember what Clinton said? It's the economy, stupid. And the man that moves the next election next year to see that it's the economy, stupid, will win that election, or a woman. Someone will move us there because we are so materialistic. In that day and age, this satanic-empowered false sign will promise, here's peace, come to me, I'll give you peace, there'll be no more war. I'll give you prosperity, I'll give you purpose. Number four, there'll be religious lies on every side, verse 24 speaking about those signs and wonders. But then he says in verse 28, there'll be great death. Verse 28 is an anomaly. It's hard to understand. Where the corpse is, the vultures will gather there. They're going to see the death, they think, of Israel, and vultures gather. One writer says he thinks this is in the city of Petra, where they would all flee and be there in that forced place, and that the armies of the Russian Confederacy and the European Confederacy and the Eastern and the Southern would come against them. But then he says in verses 25, 26, behold, I've told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. At the end of that tribulation, he's coming. He's coming. Coming. He's coming like lightning. Did y'all have any lightning at your house this week? Ooh, we had lightning over at the trailer's house. Blew a tree nearly out of the ground. Big ditches in the yard. A pond all covered with pine bark. Pieces 4 feet long of that tree, big as my arm, laid out all in the yard. I mean, busted up everywhere. We stood in the house and watched it, sometimes 4 fingers coming down at one time. Kaboom, kaboom. I couldn't help. I was studying this page. I couldn't help get this off my mind. He's coming like lightning. No one's the boss but the lightning when it comes. Puts everything else out of business. Trip breakers in my house, blew up tree, got my security system. Don't come mess with me. I got a new one already. I'd take your picture in dark now. Oh, he's coming like lightning. Lightning that it flashes from the east to the west. You ever noticed around here that most storms go from the west to the east, but if you want to get a bad storm, let it come from the east to the west? When it moves that way, I'm telling you, he's coming with great power at the finalization of this thalipsis. Well, then he says, verse 29, 30, and 31, we got to end here. Look at this. You've been really patient this morning, listening all ears. Look in verse 29. But immediately after the thalipsis, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Some people ask, is that literal? Well, I'm just telling you, there's mysterions here. We don't understand all this. Sun will be darkened. Dr. Criswell, my hermeneutical hero, he says that the sun will be darkened because when Armageddon comes, the smoke will be so black and high it'll even block out the sun. He says the fire will burn so hot and high that the moon will turn to the color of crimson and blood. Stars fall from the sky, the powers of heaven. There's going to be a cosmic shakeup. You talk about global warming, here it is. This didn't come from some car burning too much gas. This came from the maker of fossil fuels. There'll be a cosmic shakeup. Secondly, verse 30, I wish I knew what this meant. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. You remember the bat signal? Boom! Here he comes. It was always a sign. There's going to be a sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Well, some people think it's the sign of the cross. I don't know. He doesn't tell us what the sign is. Some people think they know and they can find a scripture over it, but I'm just telling you, you don't know. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Well, what comes after the storm? Did somebody say rainbow? Wouldn't it be just like the world to steal God's sign and Him to take it back? More brilliant than you've ever known. The Prince of Peace is on. I don't know what the sign is. Just one man's opinion. But when you see it, everyone will know Jesus. When you see whatever this is, it's just Jesus. It'll be shrouded, no doubt, with Shekinah glory in verse 31, and He'll send forth His angels with a great trumpet, and they'll gather together the elect from the four winds. He's going to send those angels, and they're going to gather the Jews, the great coming together of that Jewish nation from one end of the earth to the other, and He will gather them. Millennium is on the way, the end of the age. Next Sunday, we'll see three signs of that and three exhortations that He gives us beginning in the next verse. But now I got a question for you this morning. Are you Jew? Are you Gentile? Are you church? Are you a saved Jew, a saved Gentile, a saved church? You can be a Jew and not be saved. You can be a Gentile and not be saved. You can have your name on an earthly church roll and not be saved. Are you ready? He's coming. He's coming like lightning. He's coming quickly. He's coming like a thief in the night. We'll see that next week. Are you ready? Say, preacher, there's more in there than I understand. There's more in there than I understand. There's great truth. That the end is not yet, but it may not be far away. Now just when we sing this song, you've never been saved, then you ought to come get saved today. Say, preacher, I want to do what Corey did Friday night, and that, then you come. Say, I want to bring you, you bring your family, reach over and take their hand, say, we're going to go and we're going to unite our life with this church, and then you come right here. There's a day coming with a shout and a trumpet, and if you're ready, you'll be gone. Now, not everybody believes that the church will be raptured before this age, before the tribulation. I do. It's another series, another sermon for another time. I believe God exits His church for some of the reasons I talked about with the unrestrained evil that will come. Are you ready for the trumpet? Would He call your name? Do you know your name's written in the book of life? It's essential you know. You need to know. I got a letter this week from the Escambia County government. They've got my name
They know where I live. I'm on their book. They told me they're going to send me a bill. They got my name in a book. Is your name in God's book? If your name's not in God's book, come right here today. This is God's invitation. He's calling you to come. Father, I give you glory. Lord, there are friends in this room. They need you. I pray, God, they'd come today. Father, people that need salvation, God, help them come today. People that need a church, help them come today. Oh, God, do your work among us and do it today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. A whole family, just you by yourself. A couple. God's call. It's in this room. We want to help you. When you come down and shake my hand, I'm going to introduce you to someone. They're just going to walk outside a few paces and sit down in a quiet place and talk about the things of faith. We invite you to come. Say yes to Christ, yes to His church, yes to repentance in your life. We're on our feet all over this room. We're standing and singing. Brother John's leading us. God's calling you, and you're coming just now.